I invite you now to read along with me or simply listen to the word of our Lord. It's recorded this morning in our Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 20. And then from the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. And therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus is speaking here. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Dear friends, the good news of the gospel is that the grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of our Lord will last forever. And this is the word of our Lord. Well, the Presbyterian Church, in its infinite wisdom, gives churches all across America a guideline each year of scripture readings for each Sunday of the year. They're called lectionary readings. Sometimes they make perfect sense, and sometimes you have to wonder, how in the world can you wrap a 20-minute sermon around their text? It was back in January, I think it was the 17th of January, that they had a text that is one of my personal favorites, one from the book of Samuel and the scripture that we just read. Your doors had closed the preceding week, and so you never got to be reminded of that heartwarming story of Samuel as a kid running back and forth to Eli, his mentor. And so this morning, as we edge closer to Palm Sunday and the Passion Week, I thought it would be meaningful if we took a time out and went back to the Old Testament. It's a pleasure to dissect it this morning and see if we can get a good message out of it. Next Sunday, we'll start to build and zero in on Easter and the meaning of all of that. I think the words between God and Samuel make it one of the most enduring and powerful conversations in the Bible. We read that the word of the Lord was scarce in those days. It sounds like a little editorial there, doesn't it, from the writer of Samuel. Well, I suppose that the word of the Lord is sometimes that way nowadays, isn't it? Perhaps it always is. Have any of you heard anything lately? Well, in any case, this young fellow, he's sound asleep, and he hears this voice calling him, "Samuel, Samuel," and he thought it was the voice of his mentor, the high priest Eli, who was calling for him. And so he gets out of bed and comes to him. "You called me?" No, Eli said, nope, I didn't. Go back to sleep. Three times the Lord called on the sleeping boy. Three times. And three times the boy Samuel confused God's voice with that of Eli's. And three times Eli sent the young fellow back to bed. God had a message that was obvious he was not getting through. But on the third time, the elderly Eli, he puts it all together, and he suspects that it was the Lord. And so he says to Samuel, "If you get the call again, you should say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And Samuel goes back, and he hears with insight this time. And he is then called by God to be a prophet and to speak for the Lord. Isn't that a great story? I think it is suggestive concerning our prayers, or perhaps our lack of them, and why a word from the Lord is so rare. You know, at the very heart of prayer is silence. It is listening, and it's as simple as that. And I suspect that the first reason why the word of God is so rare to us is because we are speaking and have not taken time to listen. In our conversations with God, it would be hard for Him to get a word in edgewise. There's a story about a fellow who had gone to a dinner party. And he was sitting with a pretty lady right beside him. He'd never met her before. And she proceeded to talk about herself and her life for 1 hour and a quarter. And that was not bad enough, he said, but when they got up from the table, she said, "Yeah, I'm so glad we could have a good conversation together." Have you ever been there? It's like having one of those phone conversations. Someone talks and all you say is, Well, let me ask you, when you do pray, do you dominate the conversation with God, piling up your requests and your feelings? Now, our personal desires do have a place, don't get me wrong, but only part-time. A fellow wrote, God has so many things to give us, but our hands are too full. And I would add, our desires and demands are too numerous, and our requests are too worthy. A man named Jules Romaine listed what he suspected as the total content of many of our prayers. Oh, God in heaven, cure my leg, fill my shop with customers, help me to find out if my servant John is robbing me. Oh, God, heal my sore eyes. Lord, let my son pass his examination. Help me to make her fall in love with me. My God, if I can only find some work. Amen. After all, prayer is a conversation. It's meant to be a two-way street. It is meant to be a dialogue and not a monologue. And frankly, what God says to us is certainly more crucial than what we say to Him. And we have reversed what Samuel said. We are saying, "Be quiet, Lord." We are speaking. And I think we need to be receptive. Our minds open, our thoughts clear, our spirits listening for the still, small voice. The first duty of love is to listen, even to God. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. My second point this morning is that hearing the word of God is rare because, well, sometimes we're afraid of the message that we might receive. After all, prayer is to encounter God. Can we all agree with that? And sometimes the message from God is stern news. Now, the rest of that story about Samuel and Eli, God told the child Samuel that the priests in Israel, including Eli's sons, were corrupt. And the word was a word of challenge and justice to the nation. And then this interesting verse. The Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears tingle. And that's quite an expression, isn't it? That can't be good. The tingling of your ears is what happens when you receive a blow on the head or someone comes up and slaps you on both ears at the same time. It's what they call in professional football, ringing your bell. So that's definitely a wake-up call. Now, of course, there is peace and poise and insight and beauty in meeting God. We won't forget that in what is a stressful time here. But there is risk too, friends. Paul Scherer, the Lutheran pastor and preacher and professor, wrote once, and I quote, to listen to God means you will see yourself as you are. You will change to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And you may be called on some adventure in service to our Lord. End quote. So don't be sentimental or just pious. There may not always be a change in circumstances, but there will be a change in you. And that's a risk. I think we secretly know that. Sometimes I think we play it safe. You know, if we don't answer the phone, we don't get the message. And if we don't answer the doorbell, perhaps the telegram won't come. But isn't it worth it? Wouldn't you rather be alive with God than dead in yourself? Wouldn't you rather accept the truth and live it with God than to go through life without Him? Years ago, there was a famous hymn writer. His name was George Matheson. I'm sure Joanne has heard of him. He wrote these words. He wrote a song, a hymn called "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And he wrote those words after the woman to whom he was engaged decided she did not want to spend her life with a man who lived in darkness. And so he wrote this hymn about another love that would not ever let him go. But he said something else. He prayed to God, "Whether you come in sunshine or in rain, I would take you into my heart. You are yourself more than the sunshine. You are yourself compensation for the rain. It is you, not your gifts, that I crave." And that's pretty powerful. Now, whether many of us can even reach that level of spirituality, I don't know. But nevertheless, the final message from God is always good news and hope and peace. We talked about that last week. It is love that is seeking you and seeking our world. So don't be afraid. When you hear the message, say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." My third point this morning, the Word of God is scarce among us because we are so surrounded by noise and busyness. We are deafened by sound and fury. We can't seem to be quiet for even a moment. It seems like we major in the noise and the ruckus. All day long, noise from radio and television, cars and trucks, work and pleasure are constantly staying with us. This past week, Debbie and I got away for a few days up on Cape Cod. And we were able to sit by the ocean and see the beauty and tranquility that God has made for us. It's actually fairly warm up there for March. And the sounds of the ocean and the seagulls making their squawking sounds, and we even heard the whales calling each other from a distance. And the tranquility of the setting, I think, made for a perfect time to visit with God. And we here in the Shenandoah Valley likewise had that opportunity as we sit on our decks and look at the beauty of the Blue Ridge and the Allegheny Mountains. Friends, may you take that opportunity, that tranquility time, the silence, and have a little conversation with our God. Remember, the psalmist did not say, "Be busy, and you will know God." He did not say, "Be strenuous, and you will know God." What did he say? He said, "Be still, and know God." It's the quiet heart and spirit that will call God's will. It's the soul's exaltation that comes in silence. And I think if we're to gain sanity, we need the Sabbath of our spirit, the inner rest that comes with going apart to a quiet place. Pascal said, "All the evils of life have fallen on us because people will not sit down quietly in a room." And you know, we don't need the support of industry and science in this. And yet Stephen Covey says it, and Eric Fromm said it in The Art of Loving, and nearly every self-help book announces it, almost every religious faith acknowledges it, that there is a dimension in life which comes only in silence, and it is inspiration, it is conscience, it is renewal, it is peace, it is oneness with nature and the universe. It is the reception of serenity in trial and power in weakness. And we people of faith simply call it listening for God's voice. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then finally this morning, the Word of God, I think, is rare because sometimes we have low expectations, don't we? 12-year-old Samuel was not expecting a message from God, even though he was in the temple. And that's like us. He was in the temple. We're in the sanctuary. How many of us sit in the pews in church in order to hear an anthem or a sermon or to just watch? And secretly, we wish for the holy, but often we come without any dream that we may even be touched or chosen or called or grasped or taken hold of. And indeed, some of us have put God on hold. He's been transferred to call waiting. And what if he has something to say to you? Can he get through? Have you been listening? And please don't say you're too busy. Anything but that. Say you just don't want to have communion with the highest. Say you just don't care. Or that you're afraid you might see yourself more clearly and you might be called to a ministry or sent on some mission. And go ahead and admit that it's sort of like when you're in high school and sitting on the back row and you're hunched down, hoping that your teacher is not going to call on you because you haven't read the lesson. It happened to me at 45 so many times when I tried to look invisible. It seemed like every time I tried to hide, I'd get called on. It just doesn't work. Well, here's my proposal. Why not set aside each day a little time to just listen? Now, bedtime is always a perfect time. After you put the kids to bed, after you've turned off the television and checked your cell phone messages, after you've talked with your spouse about tomorrow's schedules, and finally after you kissed your mate goodnight and told her that you love her, and you turn the light off. And in the silence of the night and in the darkness surrounding you, please don't fall asleep just yet. Listen. Listen for the word of our Lord. And if you hear it, don't be afraid. Say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." May it be so. Amen.